Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, your pastor. And those of you that I'm not your pastor, I want to be. This is, we're reading through the Bible. We're in 1 Samuel. And this is the 22nd chapter. And there's 23 verses in this chapter. And we have some translations and commentary on it and a couple of letters to read. And then I'm going to do the sixth in the series of the flesh. So let's go to the Lord now to have this service anointed by Him. Lord, anoint this service. Let everybody thank and praise You, Lord, for anointing Your life into them through Your Word and through the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's begin.
1 Samuel chapter 22, David at the
king. Oh, first of all, we have the two letters we're going to read. Here, go right ahead.
First one's from Lumberton, North Carolina. Hello, Brother Tony Alamo. May God bless you, Brother Alamo, you and all the Holy Church of the Almighty God. Well, Brother Alamo, thank you very much for continuing to send me the beautiful literatures. I have been getting every one of your literatures that you have sent to me. Thank you again very much, Brother Alamo, for your beautiful literature. I love to read everything that is true, and what you say is the truth. Now, I believe everything that is written in the Bible. The earthquakes and other things signal it is true, and all the signals have been coming to this world a little bit at a time to show God's power to the whole world, and that the Word of God is true. I like to know the truth, because the truth has been helping me to know more about God's wrath. Thank you, Brother Alamo, for telling all the truth to the whole world. You know, Brother Alamo, I enjoy reading everything that you say because I know you are a real man of God. The Holy Spirit speaks to you what you can tell the whole world. I know you are a real prophet of the Almighty God, and our Lord will keep you very strong to continue to speak the Holy Word to all the lost souls. Please,
well,
brother,
you know that everybody in the world is supposed to be a prophet nowadays. The Lord said He'll pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, and His young men will prophesy. Men and women shall prophesy. Amen.
Amen.
Young men will see visions, and old men will dream dreams. And He'll pour out His Spirit on His servants and handmaidens, and they shall prophesy. So that means, you know, everyone should do that if they want to be saved, but they're not. Okay, and it's a sad state of affairs where there's just a few people that are really on the front lines here telling the truth, and everybody should be doing that. Okay, now go ahead.
Please, brother, keep me in your prayers. Your brother in Jesus Christ loves you and all my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ's name. Pray for all my family. I love you all. Your brother in Jesus Christ, B.L. from Lumberton, North Carolina.
Oh, wow, and a beautiful letter that is. Praise the Lord. You can tell that's a very sweet soul. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we pray for their family and pray for them. And Lord, you know, just bless them every way there is in Jesus' name. Amen. And then what?
This next one is from Solomon Islands. Dear sir, I am very delighted to let you know that I have already received the parcel of Bibles and your literatures that your ministry has sent over to me. I was overjoyed indeed when I received this carton, and also I enjoy distributing these literatures among our young people, and they too also enjoyed reading these materials. Many of my young people made up their minds and also responded to God through these literatures as well. I would like to take this opportunity to request your ministry once again to continue sending me the new publication literatures and also some biblical teaching books to assist me in my ministry. 50 copies of the following: Death Row, What is Truth, Leave Us Alone, Set Up, America is a Christian Nation, Alamo's Newsletters, Broken to Pieces, and the Messiah Book, The Pope's Secrets, and some King James Version Bibles. Pastor, I really need these materials so that I can continue to do my ministry of teaching and also to distribute all these literatures to our people and also in our area. On account of that, I write to you personally to request the materials to enhance the divine nature of God in my life as an individual, as well as for distribution of Alamo literature. Through this new challenge, I shall be able to reach the teeming souls that are trapped by the devil, for the time of release has come. Praise God. Because of the above reason, I want you to keep me in your mailing list for through this also I shall be able to create an awareness of your ministry. Thank you so very kindly, and remain blessed in the Lord. Yours in Christ's service, J.F., from Malaita Province, Solomon Islands.
Oh, Father God, let's just everybody pray that this we have to just keep showering all these kind of people like this with the literature. Go ahead and read the one from the tsunami, okay? Go ahead.
Our dear brother, honored and blessed to the great man of God, world pastor, the Reverend Tony Alamo. Your good name is dancing upon our lips as we all pray for you several times a day. Warmest of greetings to you from the Indian brothers and sisters in the majestic name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the soon coming Messiah of ours. Grace and blessings of God from above be unto you who carry on in the service of the Lord. I have prayerfully received your email, and all the contents therein have been carefully noticed. Thank you for writing, dear brother. We know, dear brother, how busy you are there in pastoring, teaching, preaching, writing, and accelerating the Alamo Christian Ministries worldwide. But however busy you are, we will remain in your prayers for the work of God here in this great heathen nation. Thank you again, dear brother, for your precious prayers for us. We are deeply indebted to you, dear brother, forever and ever. As you asked me in your email, I am giving you the following information. The people, those who have received the food and supplies distributed by the Alamo Christian Ministries of India, are members in the Alamo Christian churches, both in Chinalanka as well as Petalanka. And they know very well that the help came from the Alamo Christian Ministries in the United States, offered by the world pastor Tony Alamo. In fact, they do not know who was the president of America or even the president of, or prime minister of India, but they well know you as the world pastor Tony Alamo, and they pray for you too. What a great thing, and how wonderful it is to hear. Praise the Lord. To God alone be the glory. Amen.
We got to send this to President Bush, right? Because President Bush doesn't win souls. Now, if he would start doing that, well, then he'd be honored that much as well. But people are just really bringing down his name now. I see on television all the time, and President Bush, please, you need to get saved. Okay, then what?
After prayerfully distributing these food and supplies, we distributed nearly 2,000 pieces of our literature, including the Messiah booklets, which were sent by the Operation Mobilization in Secunderabad. Still, there is a great need for your literature here among many kinds of people. Brethren from different churches even are coming and asking me for the Messiah booklets and dry bone tracts in big quantity.
This is where that tsunami hit. We sent them some supplies and then literature, of course, and then went and Bibles.
Please arrange to send the literature soon as the people here are hungering for more of the unchangeable truths of God's Word that are written in your literature. Please help our people with the real spiritual food, which is strong meat to a hungry soul. Thank you in advance, dear brother, for kindly considering my sincere request for your literature. God bless you exceedingly for writing such a worthy and unique literature. God has given you fantastic knowledge of the Bible and effective writing capacity. Really, you are God sent. Brother, as I already mentioned in my previous letter, that the brethren here are fishermen and are dependent upon their boats and nets for fishing to earn their living. Due to the tsunami, all of their boats and nets have been completely damaged, so they are badly in need of boats and nets to go for fishing for their daily lives. We are praying to repair their boats and give them new fishing nets. The cost of repairing a boat is approximately $200. A new fishing net costs $100. Please pray for the same. They are almost 200 fishermen families are living in both the villages. Therefore, 20 boats repairing and 40 new fishing nets will be given to them for their livelihood, which gives support to 200 suffering and dying families. Please pray for them and kindly help them with your gifted hands in the love of Jesus. Thank you so very much, dear brother. We assure you of our consecrated prayers, and I humbly beg you to kindly help the brethren and pray for my work among them ceaselessly. Our Lord always loves a cheerful giver, 2 Corinthians 9:7. We are quite hopeful and expectant that our Lord will make you the cup of strength for the suffering brethren. We prayerfully and ardently await your kind letter, which is a comfort and console for our souls in the greatest hope ever. Thank you, brother, in advance for your great love and support, and accept the thanks from everyone else here with united love and prayers in Christ Jesus. The people, those who have received your help through food and supplies, are once again sending their heartfelt thanks and deepest gratitudes to you, dear brother, for your timely help at the hour of need. They all salute you. Please greet and thank your faithful staff and all the dear ones in the Lord for me. Thank you for doing so. God bless.
Is this letter come before we sent the two helps there, or was this after? This was in between, and so we did send them enough money to get those boats going. Okay, praise the Lord. Shrimp boats is a-coming. There's dancing tonight. Amen? Okay, then what?
May the Lord keep his kindly right hand on you always in our prayer. Amen. Your brother faithfully in his service, Reverend J.B. from Andhra Pradesh, India.
Praise the Lord. Okay, now let's start, Sharon, let's start first Samuel chapter 22 with its 23 verses.
David at the cave of Adullam. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam, and when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Verse 2. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Verse 3. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth, and be with you, till I know what God will do for me. Verse 4. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. Verse 5. And the prophet Gad said unto David, Abide not in the hold, depart, and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hareph. Verse 6. When Saul heard that David was discovered, and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. Verse 7. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, Hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds? Verse 8. That all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day. Translation, verse 1 through 8. David at the cave of Adullam. Verse 1. So David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Soon his brothers and other relatives joined him there. Verse 2. Then others began coming, men who were in trouble or in debt, or who were just discontented, until David was the leader of about 400 men. Verse 3. Later David went to Mizpah in Moab, where he asked the king, quote, Would you let my father and mother live here under royal protection until I know what God is going to do for me? Unquote. Verse 4. The king agreed, and David's parents stayed in Moab while David was living in his stronghold. Verse 5. One day the prophet Gad told David, quote, Leave the stronghold and return to the land of Judah. Unquote. So David went to the forest of Hareph. Verse 6. The news of his arrival in Judah soon reached Saul. At the time, the king was sitting beneath a tamarisk, T-A-M-A-R-I-S-K, tree on the hill at Gibeah, holding his spear and surrounded by his officers. Verse 7. Quote, Listen here, you men of Benjamin, exclamation mark, Saul shouted when he heard the news. Quote, Has David promised you fields and vineyards? Has he promised to make you commanders in his army? Verse 8. Is this why you have conspired against me? For not one of you has ever told me that my own son is on David's side. You're not even sorry for me. Think of it, exclamation mark, my own son encouraging David to try and kill me. Exclamation mark, unquote. King James Version, verse 9. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. Verse 10. And he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Verse 11. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob, and they came all of them to the king. Verse 12. And Saul said, Hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, Here I am, my lord. Verse 13. And Saul said unto him, Why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day? Verse 14. Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, And who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Verse 15. Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father. For thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. Verse 16. And the king said, Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. Translation, verse 9 through 16. Then Doeg the Edomite, who was standing there with Saul's men, spoke up, quote, When I was at Nob, he said, I saw David talking to Ahimelech the priest. Verse 10. Ahimelech consulted the Lord to find out what David should do. Then he gave David food and the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Unquote. The slaughter of the priests. Verse 11. King Saul immediately sent for Ahimelech and all his family, who served as priests at Nob. Verse 12. When they arrived, Saul shouted at him, quote, Listen to me, you son of Ahitub! Exclamation mark. Unquote. Quote, What is it, my king? Ahimelech asked. Verse 13. Quote, Why have you and David conspired against me? Saul demanded. Why did you give him food and a sword? Why have you inquired of God for him? Why did you encourage him to revolt against me and to come here and attack me? Unquote. Verse 14. Quote, But sir, Ahimelech reported, Is there anyone among all your servants who is as faithful as David, your son-in-law? Why, he is the captain of your bodyguard, and a highly honored member of your household! Exclamation mark. Verse 15. This was certainly not the first time I have consulted God for him! Exclamation mark. Please don't accuse me and my family in this matter, for I knew nothing of any plot against you. Unquote. Verse 16. Quote, You will surely die, Ahimelech, along with your entire family! Exclamation mark. Unquote. The king shouted. King James Version, verse 17. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, Turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled, and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. Verse 18. And the king said to Doeg, Turn thou and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests, and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. Verse 19. And Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep, with the edge of the sword. Verse 20. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. Verse 21. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. Verse 22. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Verse 23. Abide thou with me, fear not. For he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Translation, verse 17 through 23. And he ordered his bodyguards, quote, Kill these priests of the Lord, for they are allies and conspirators with David. Exclamation mark. They knew he was running away from me, but they didn't tell me. Exclamation mark. Unquote. But Saul's men refused to kill the Lord's priests. Verse 18. Then the king said to Doeg, quote, you do it, unquote. So Doeg turned on them and killed them. 85 priests in all still wearing their priestly tunics. Verse 19. Then he went to Nob, the city of the priests, and killed the priests' families, men and women, children and babies, and all the cattle, donkeys and sheep. Verse 20. Only Abiathar, one of the sons of Ahimelech, escaped and fled to David. Verse 21. When he told David that Saul had killed the priests of the Lord, verse 22, David exclaimed, quote, I knew it, exclamation mark. When I saw Doeg there that day, I knew he would tell Saul. Now I have caused the death of all your father's family. Verse 23, stay here with me, and I will protect you with my own life, for the same person wants to kill us both, unquote.
Okay, that was the 23 verses of chapter 22 of 1 Samuel, and also the translations, and now we've got some commentary.
22 verse 1. Adullam was about 20 miles southwest of Jerusalem, and 10 miles south of the Philistine city of Gath. All his father's house moved from Bethlehem and came to David for protection from Saul. 22 verse 2. This is the beginning of the group of select and courageous fighting men that David gathered around himself. They are listed by name and by their amazing exploits in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8 through 39, and in 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and 12. 22, verse 3 through 4. Ruth, David's great-grandmother, was a Moabitess. Thus, perhaps, his family stayed in safety with their relatives. 22 verse 5. The prophet Gad probably came to David from Samuel's school of the prophets. It is possible that he also identified with David's cause and remained with David to assist him. See 1 Chronicles chapter 21 verse 9, 2 Samuel chapter 24 verse 11, 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 29, 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 25. The forest of Hereth was in the mountain area of Judah, east of Adullam. 22, verse 6. The tamarisk tree is a soft-wooded desert tree, seldom found in the mountains. This one was evidently well known because of its location in this hill country. 22, verse 7. You Benjamites, that all Saul's retinue were from his own tribe of Benjamin, rather than a broader representation of the nation, may indicate the shrinking power of his rule. 22 verse 18. Wearing a linen ephod was the visible sign that they spoke for Yahweh or the Lord. 22 verse 1. David's family joined him in the cave of Adullam. Recovery is a family project involving our loved ones and a network of supportive friends and fellow strugglers. Companionship should not be shunned in a crisis. God never wants us to go it alone.
Yeah, mentioning that, you know, like in a crisis, the other night I mentioned to you about him wanting to kill Bob Streit's dad in the hospital, and they even had a sign up there. They just put it up saying, do not feed me. They were just starving him to death. Well, tonight he died. And I asked the Lord, is he with you? And the Lord answered back, and Bob was sobbing on the phone. And I told him, don't cry, he's right there with the Lord, and I'd be glad to change places with him right now, if that could be. And so I offered the brother, $20,000, and to give for Bob to sign over all his property so that Bob wouldn't have any of his property at all, because he stays here. He's been at the church for over 30 years. He doesn't need it. If he'd just signed the papers to not kill his own dad, but the young brother would not do that. And he had him sign, the father signed papers when he was almost in a coma. or in a coma to that, you know, he wanted him to die because Bob thinks because he wanted the inheritance. And we'd be glad to sign all that over to him and give him $20,000 on top of it. And I offered an attorney $20,000 if he could get a writ of habeas corpus. And I offered the two best attorneys, as far as I'm concerned, in New York City, Eric Lieberman and Kubi, in the same office. And they said there wasn't anything they could do. This is like a thing today where they believe in putting people to death. They believe in assisting people in suicides. And this is absolutely forbidden in the Bible. But the man, when Bob went there to witness to him, his dad stated that he wanted to come with him and even tried to get up, but the security guards blocked the door. And so he was unable to get him out. But he's safe and sound with the Lord now. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we have to stick together. There's just hardly anybody these days that'll put up cash when somebody's in trouble. I know that when I was in trouble and were going to prison for the gospel, not one person except the people in my church and H.B. Barnum, who was not a member of the church, but now he's the music director. He flew all the way in from Chicago to testify for me and my brother, Danny. All right, let's continue on. Let's stick together, amen? We're the minority in this world, not blacks, not Chinese, but Christian, the true people that belong to Christ are the minority. If we don't stick up for each other, nobody will. Now, the Jews, they know, in Israel, they know if they don't stick up for themselves, nobody else will, because the whole world is against them, too. And true Christians, people that belong to Christ, will be in these last days supporting one another. And the smart you. And the smart, you know, people that are of the Lord will do that. Let's continue on.
22 verse 16 through 18. The priests in this passage are the innocent victims of Saul's mental illness, David's lie.
See, mental illness is actually a demon possession. Right there it shows it. Amen?
Amen.
It's a demon possession. You take people in a mental institution, all that is a demon possession. You cast that demon out, and they get their mind stayed upon the Lord, and they'll have perfect peace, I don't care who it is, and a sound mind. A sound mind is not a mental case. Okay? Anybody that's irrational, throwing fits for no reason at all, or just making up something to throw a fit about, these people they've got a demon possession. And in other words, they are possessed, possessions of the devil. They belong to him, in other words. We need to be possessed by the Lord, owned by God. And anyone that just has no rule over their spirit, they are possessed, possessions owned by Satan. Because he causes them to do whatever he wants them to, whenever he wants to. Okay, let's go.
The priests in this passage are the innocent victims of Saul's mental illness, David's lie, 21 verse 2, and Doeg's desire to be accepted. David's apparently inconsequential lie became the catalyst for the sins of others. He gave Saul the opportunity to act in an unbalanced way. It gave Doeg the chance to try to get some attention. Sometimes the small lies we tell can be compounded by the failures of others to bring great suffering to innocent people. In such times, telling the truth will stop the sins of others rather than perpetuating or compounding them. Honesty always is the best policy.
All right, now that was the 23rd chapter of 22nd chapter of 1 Samuel with the 23 verses and commentary. And now I've got the sixth in the series of the flesh. And so we'll just get right into that now. Go ahead.
Dealing with the flesh, part six, the application of dealing with our flesh. After we pass through the messages I've told you about, after you've gone through with that process, you're going to begin to experience dealing with the flesh, because you have to experience it.
You have to experience it in to know that your flesh is dealt with. Amen?
Amen.
If you're still throwing fits or lying or lusting, you haven't dealt with your flesh. You're still owned by the devil. You're one of his little darlings. If you're trying to impress him, you'll be sorry. Then what?
Yet this kind of experience and dealing is not once for all or just a one-time deal. We need to apply this experience and dealing to our practical living continuously, allowing the Holy Spirit to execute the putting to death in us so that everything that we go through in life, we have the experience of dealing with the flesh. That can only happen when we're living continuously in the Holy Spirit. This continual experience is what I mean by the application of dealing with the flesh.
Right, because all through the day there's all sorts of things. You see this, there's an example of these guys that are going through the academy, police academy, or the FBI. They have all these different... they have a bandit come pop up like that, and then they're supposed to shoot the bandit. Then there's that police officer who comes up, and if they shoot that police officer, then they don't pass the test. Or they have a private eye or somebody, or just a woman or a child or something. And if they shoot those people, well, then they don't get to... And so all during the day, there are good things and bad things coming in our path. And so when we're walking in the Spirit, when we've crucified the flesh, we know how to handle each one of those situations. We're able to live through each one of them in victory so that we don't lose our victory in Christ. And so that's what the experience will cause us to do, is to live in the Spirit, in the law of the Spirit life in Christ Jesus, victoriously every day and all throughout today. Then what?
There's no way we can divide this subject into even more than three major basic principles or three major points. One, the application of dealing with the flesh is a matter which is completely in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. No one can experience the deal of the cross outside of the relationship of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in order to experience and apply continuously the dealing with the flesh, the most basic requirement is to live in the fellowship, or to live in the Holy Spirit every moment of the day. Whenever we are not in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, we immediately lose the reality of dealing with the flesh, because the flesh rises up. Romans chapter 6 speaks of the fact that the old man is crucified in Christ, while Romans chapter 8 speaks of dealing with the flesh in the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 6 speaks of the death of Christ solving our sin, and the resurrection of Christ solving our death. If these are the objective facts which can only become experienced in the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ, which is the law of the Spirit of life of the 8th chapter of Romans, therefore, I've said over and over again that the fact in the 6th chapter of Romans can never be our experience unless it is placed under the control of the Holy Spirit. That is, unless together with the Holy Spirit of chapter 8 of Romans. It is very possible that some people may clearly realize the fact mentioned in the 6th chapter and also accept it by faith. Yet, if they don't live in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit of the 8th chapter of Romans, this fact cannot become our experience. On the other hand, there have been many saints throughout history, throughout every generation, who have never known the truth of the 6th chapter adequately, nor have they seen it clearly. Yet they have remained living in the fellowship of the 8th chapter of Romans.
Now they're walking in the Spirit, but they don't realize what the Lord has crucified that old man. Okay? Then what?
As a result, they have spontaneously experienced release from their flesh. Therefore, the fellowship of the 8th chapter of Romans is absolutely necessary in the application of dealing with the flesh. When we have fellowship with the indwelling Holy Spirit and allow Him to move freely in our fellowship, in our lives, then and only then do we touch the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit. None of the elements of this kind of life, that is, the death of the cross or the element of death, will then be applied to us in a practical way, because we can use it all day long.
I see. We are made out of elements, and so we have to take into us a new element. And that new element is the death of the cross. So unless we take that in, we're just the same all the time. We never have victory. You may say, okay, this is my problem, and I'm going to watch it the next time I have this trouble. And so you fight it yourself, but a lot of times you'll bite your lip until it bleeds, and that's you doing it, and you're not under a lot of pressure, so you're able to take care of your flesh on an occasion or so. But when when things are hitting left and right, and you're not able to go through it, you start, this old man starts rising up in your flesh starts rising up, then you realize that you're immature, or you really haven't dealt with your flesh adequately to be able to go through an entire day, an entire week, a month, a year, and continue on that way until the end. A situation has come up and you are not able to stand an accusation, whether it's false or not. You just have to start ranting and raving yourself. You just have not got a hold of that. And maybe you'll not have had enough sleep or something. Maybe a lot of things have irritated you, or somebody talked down to you or looked at you the wrong way, or you didn't have enough to eat, or the right kind of food that you like is not there. And then something happens to you, or somebody says something to you, and you're still not dead. Your flesh is not dead. You're not really filled with the Spirit. You're not. You haven't dealt. You haven't allowed the Lord to deal with your flesh. You haven't pulled the cross of Christ into you as an element to be part of you yet. You understand?
Yes.
You? Okay, then what?
The more the Holy Spirit moves in us, the more the element of the Lord's death will accomplish a killing work in us. This killing work is the application of the cross, or the application of dealing with our flesh. Therefore, if we wish to apply dealing with the flesh, we need to live continuously in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
All right, that was the sixth in this series of dealing with the flesh. And I already have number seven done. And in the morning, Lord willing, I'll be doing number eight. And I think this is working a good thing in this church. I know that the Lord really directed me to do this. And so you should be happy that you're getting what the Lord wants you to get. Amen?
Amen.
All right, and so you've got to meditate on and seek the Spirit with all of your heart and soul, because to mortify your flesh, the deeds of the flesh, with all your heart, and so meditate on that, and seek the Lord. This isn't enough. You have to read also, and you have to pray also. So until 1 Samuel chapter 23, and the seventh in the series of dealing with the flesh, this is Tony Alamo, your pastor. And if I'm not, I'm the pastor that wants to be your pastor. And God bless you, and praise the Lord.